Gimel Amud Beis 3b, and appropriately enough for Mazel Tovs, we're discussing wedding dates, although not under the best of circumstances, as we've been discussing when the date has to be pushed off and why push it off. We said that the Besula is supposed to get married on Wednesday night. We discussed all of that and why Wednesday night, not going back into that. But what we said in a brisa that we brought was that there was a sakana situation, a dangerous situation, which caused them to have to move to Tuesday. We didn't understand what that meant, because it described people customarily moving it to Tuesday. So it didn't sound like the issue was a life or death issue, but on the other hand, you called it sakana, you called it danger. So what exactly was that? And the answer that we gave was that the women faced forced relations with the Roman authorities, and they would choose to give up their lives rather than do that. So the custom became to switch days in order to thwart the Roman plans. And we talked all about the Tosfos and whether they really had to give up their lives or not. We're not going back through that again. What we're up to now is on Gimel Amud Beis 3b, and we are about two-thirds of the way down the page, and I'm going to share the screen with you, so that you can see the Gemara there. It is Ubasheni lo yichnos. So we're about a dozen lines up from the bottom. We're now talking about Monday, and the Braisa said Ubasheni lo yichnos should not get married on Monday. The machmas haones mutter. However, if there is an ones, a circumstance that forces it, then all right, then you can get married on Monday. But we really don't want you to get married on Monday. Why don't we want them to get married on Monday? What are we trying to avoid?
The Romans.
I'm sorry?
The Romans?
The Romans? No, that's not a reason to avoid Monday. Sorry. It's not the lack of a Beis Din, because the lack of a Beis Din exists on Tuesday also.
Not enough time to prepare.
The problem is that then he's only going to prepare for the wedding for one day, so we don't want you getting married on Monday. However, if that's necessary as a function of ones, as a function of compulsion, then you'll do it. So the question that we have to ask is, what compulsion are you talking about now? That's what our Gemara wants to know. So we say, Ubisheni lichnas, where the arrow is on the screen, on Monday they should not get married. V'machmas ha'ones mutter, but if there's a compulsion issue, then you're allowed. My ones. So the Gemara says, what is this ones? What is this compulsion? Ilema hada amran, if you're going to tell me that it's what we just talked about, that there is an issue of Roman officers coming to town and, again, compelling the women to be with them, then he says, I don't understand. Hasam kari le sakana, bahacha kari le ones. When you dealt with Tuesday, you called that sakana, you called that danger. Now you're using the term ones. It's a different term. If it's the same phenomenon, there's no reason for you to be using different terminology. Visu, and further, hasam nagu. When you were talking about doing this on Tuesday, you said, they customarily did this. Their practice was. Hacha mutter. That's not what it said here. Here it said, if there's an ones, then you're allowed to. It didn't say they did this because of it. The wording is different. It doesn't make sense to think that you're presented two cases side by side, they were both the same story, and you use different wording. It doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara gives you a second approach from Rava, and eventually we'll hit a third approach as well. Amar Rava. Rava says, we're now seven lines up from the bottom. De Amri Sard Sava Balair. It's talking about where people say the army is coming through. The army officer is coming through. And that's why we want to move the wedding date. There's a report that the army is coming through. What is the concern with the army? Not the concern we had before that we talked about last week of forced relations. If you go right across into Rashi, Sard Sava Balair, the Yachtafut Sarche Seuda Measher Yimtso, they're going to take all the food. That's the concern. The army is going to come through. They look at their rations and look at your wedding meal, and they say, well, guess which one we're taking. So that's the reason why you would move the wedding day, is in order to avoid losing the feast if you hear reports that the army is coming through. To which the Gemara says, wait, hey, Dalid, hey, Chidami, what's your case? E da asi v'chalif. If the army is passing through, meaning they're coming through, and then they're going to be gone after Wednesday, so le'akev, so wait and do the wedding afterwards, right? Rashi says, le'akev ad yom revi shel Shabbos haba, wait till next Wednesday, right? If that's your only issue. So he says, lo, no, that's not our story. Tzricha, you need it, da asi v'kava begimel. The issue is, the issue is that they come through and they settle. The army is not just on its way from point A to point B passing through town. The issue is that the army is actually planning on sticking around. So the Gemara says, well, then begimel mi alechnos, so why not get married on Tuesday? Right? In other words, the army is showing up on Wednesday and they're here for good. So do the wedding on Tuesday. That way you have 2 days of preparation for the wedding. So the Gemara answers, Asparva didei begimel ka'asu. The answer is he has a retinue that shows up in advance. He has his people who show up early. And the concern is, even if the army is showing up on Wednesday, the advanced group is showing up on Tuesday, and therefore you end up pushing up the wedding to Monday. So that's the answer. Pausing the share for a moment, just to make sure that we're clear here. And welcome to those who just joined. But the idea here is that the Braisa said you shouldn't get married on Monday. We want you to have more days of prep for the wedding. However, if you're stuck, you're able to get married on Monday. And the case is where the army is coming through, word comes the army is coming through, and you need to get there in advance and do your wedding because they're going to get there and they're going to stay, and therefore they're going to take all your food. Clear? This is relatively straightforward. It's the next piece that gets complicated. Not complicated in the sense of hard to understand, just complicated in the sense that it's going to take us a while to work through it. Because the Gemara is going to give us a third approach. Right? The first approach was that we were talking about the same problem as before. The Roman officials were going to force something with the kala. The second approach is the word comes that the general is coming through and he's hungry. So now we're going to get the third approach, and this is going to take the Gemara for the next several dapim. So settle in, get used to this, because this is something that the Gemara is going to be talking about for a while. I'm going to go back to sharing the screen with it. Okay. Four lines up from the bottom, 3b, Gimel Amud Beis. V'i bayis ema, if you want, I'll give you a different answer. My machmas ha'ones, what are we talking about with ones? What ones could justify moving things up by a couple of days? Kidisanya, the following brisa. A tragic case. Hare shahaya pito afui. The bread was already baked for the wedding. V'tivcho tavuach. All the meat was already shechted. V'yeno mazug. And the wine was already diluted. They would dilute the wine with water to make it more potable. Why is a great discussion for another time. We talked about it in Avodah Zarah probably half a dozen times. The umeis aviv shel chasan o ima shel kala. And then, with everything set for the wedding, the chasan or the kala loses a parent. The father of the chasan, the mother of the kala. The Gemara later on is going to go through, you specified father of the chasan, mother of the kala. We'll have to talk about that later on. But Rachmana Litzlan, it's a case in which one of the parents passes away. So, machnisin es hameis lecheder, here's what they do. They put the body into a room, meaning, you have to wait for the burial. V'ashachasan v'ashakala l'chuppa. The chasan and the kala are going to get married. So they go ahead with the chuppa before the funeral. And that's why it's going to get moved up, is in order to take care of this before the burial, and then moving to the top of Dalet Amud Aleph. Right, it should be visible on your screen. Uboal Beilas Mitzvah, Uporesh. The man and the woman consummate the marriage, and then they separate. Separate, we'll explain what separate means, but that we'll see. The Noeg Shivas Yemei HaMishta, they then have the week of Sheva Brachos. The Acher Kach Noeg Shivas Yemei HaVelus, and then after that, they have Sheva. V'chol, I see the hand, hang on 1 second. V'chol Osen HaYamim Hu Yashen Bein HaAnash. Actually, you know what, let's pause here, because there's a lot more to the Brisa. So I'm going to stop the share, because I see the hand raised. Yes, Howard.
The whole point of it is that there was also preparation for the meals. So afterwards, so if they consummate the marriage and then they separate, then there's no reason to have the preparation for the Sheva Brachos afterwards.
Well, the Sheva Brachos is still going to happen. What we said is they're going to do the wedding, they're going to consummate the marriage, then they're going to do the burial, and then they're going to have Sheva Brachos week. And then only after that will be Shiva.
So the burial
is during Sheva Brachos.
The Shiva wouldn't take place right away. They would have the Sheva Brachos before the...
Correct. What case can you think of in Halacha that reminds you of this? A case involving a death and then Shiva is postponed?
Yantif.
Correct. This is the case in which it happens. Someone passes away on Yom Tov, so you do the burial. I mean Yom Tov itself, right? We generally avoid that. Yes, Yom Tov Sheni can technically be done. We'll talk about that. But bottom line, let's say somebody passes away on Chol HaMoed, so the funeral is done on Chol HaMoed, but the Shiva doesn't start until after Yom Tov is over. So that's exactly what's happening here. They do the burial, and they do Sheva Brachos, and after that, they're going to sit Shiva. That's the idea. Yes, Chuck?
But my understanding is that there are some Yom Tovim where the Shiva isn't postponed or deferred, but it's preemptive. If someone dies before Rosh Hashanah, for example.
Right. So what you're talking about, you're right, but what you're talking about is where the death and the funeral and the beginning of Shiva actually took place before Yom Tov. So in such a case, Yom Tov will simply cancel the Shiva. However, if the death is on Yom Tov or on Chol HaMoed, then there never was any Shiva at all, and therefore it gets pushed off to after Yom Tov. That's the distinction.
Does the Chosin or Kala, whose parent passed away, they observe their own Shiva and other relatives have Shiva at the correct time?
I believe that's correct. I didn't think about that in terms of, when I was preparing it, I didn't look for commentary on that, but I think that's correct. They're going to actually observe Shiva at their own pace, so to speak. I think that would be right. The whole thing is obviously a very difficult and painful case. I mean, you're telling me that the chassan and the kala are going to get married. They're going to consummate the marriage while they're waiting for the funeral. The whole thing sounds awfully painful. But that is what the Gemara is saying. So,
is that what we do today?
That's the halacha on the books. That is the halacha on the books. I've known cases in which the grandparent passed away at that point. I don't think I know of a case in which it was actually a parent of the chassan or kala.
I've been at least 2 weddings where one of the parents gets up from Shiva.
Right.
The night, and then, like, sort of the Cinderella story, gets all dressed, hair, makeup, clothing, and then, midnight goes home and sits Shiva again the next day.
I mean, we know the case that happened, unfortunately, in Toronto, a couple of years ago, a year and a half ago. Which I assume is one of those, but that you're thinking of. But But yes, this is the law on the books. So David writes in the chat, why not have the burial, then the chuppah, then Sheva Brachos, then Shiva? So the answer is that once they do the burial, they're not going to be allowed to do anything other than start Shiva. They're stuck. So that's why they're doing it this way, because the fear is, as the Gemara is going to make clear going ahead, that in the event that you postpone the wedding, you've lost the wedding feast.
But what's, sorry, Rabbi.
Yeah.
I'm confused. They have the status of an omen, right? Or the child whose parent passed as a son, has the status of an omen, right?
Yep.
That an onan does not have any halachic obligations to perform a mitzvah. So, for example, if it's a boy, he wouldn't have to put on tefillin the next day, right?
So tefillin is its own discussion when it comes to avelos and aninos, but yes, one who is an onan is exempt from mitzvos asay.
So, isn't he also exempt from consummating marriage?
So we have to talk about that question, about why we're insisting on the consummation of the marriage, and is it an obligation or is it something optional? We have to get to that, and I want to talk about that a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. David further asks in the chat, but we have Yom Tov between burial and Shiva. This is certainly true, but that's Yom Tov. No, Yom Tov is inexorable. It's happening. Whether you like it or not, that's when Yom Tov is. They had the option of pushing off the wedding. We don't want them to have to, but if they start Shiva because they had the burial, then they're going to have to push off the wedding. They're not going to have another option. They can't. What with the burial comes the start of Shiva, and at that point, getting married is not an option. That's the problem.
Isn't there an issue in terms of somebody's known name if they're involved in the process of Kuras Ameis, mean do preparations for that? If the Chasan and Kala, assuming their minds and everything else is elsewhere, they still fall under the status of a nonein in the typical sense of preparation for the burial?
So, I think so. I think they'll still be an onein, even if they're not actually the ones who are taking care of it, even if other people are taking care of it, certainly for day one. They will have owning status. So, I want to just draw your attention to a couple of things in Rashi and Tosfos in order to understand this. So I'm going to share the screen again. First, Rashi on this Uporesh, the top Rashi on Dalet Amud Aleph. When he says that after they consummate the marriage, poresh, they separate from each other. The yikbru es hames miyad, they then do the burial right away. Dekevan dechala alav chatuna, because now that the wedding has taken effect for them, once the wedding has taken effect, they're now married. Havia legabe kiregel, it has the status of a regel, meaning a yom tov. Velo asya avelus vechayla. Avelus, mourning, will not take effect. Venoeg shivas yayamishta, and you go through the week of Sheva Brachos. It is like Yom Tov. So take a look at this Tosvos here. Tosvos notes that we called it Be'ilas Mitzvah. They live together as the Mitzvah. So Tosvos actually makes the comment that what makes this Be'ilas Mitzvah, what mitzvah is actually involved. I think it's actually not this Tosfos, I think it's further down. Hang on. Yeah. He says, Kari la Be'ilas Mitzvah, it's called Be'ila, relations of the Mitzvah, Mishum Dichsiv Ki Bo'alayich Osayich. We have a pasuk, your Bo'el, the one who lived with you, Osayich, made you. Va'amrinan in the Gemara says, Ein Isha Koreses Bris El Lamisha Osa Kli. The Gemara says that a woman will have a special bond with the man who has relations with her first. And the point that Tosfos is making by quoting this Gemara is to say that the bond between him and her will become strongest by their relation with each other, Vayedei kach midbuk ba, and that will cause him to cling to her as well, Uboyan lidei piria verivya, and ultimately that will lead them to produce children. Ulach ikari la labi'ila rishona bi'ilas mitzvah. That's why it's called mitzvah. In other words, what Tosfos is trying to say is that there's no mitzvah inherent in this act of relations. The mitzvah ultimately is peruvu, to have children. But Tosfos says this initial act is what will encourage that ultimate procreation, and that's why it's called the mitzvah. Now, there is a discussion in the Shita Mekubetzes on this Gemara that goes back to what Chuck was asking before. But I actually want to wait with it a little bit. I gave you references to it on the sheet. If anyone wanted to look at it, it's footnote number 5 on the sheet. But the Shita Mekubetzes on our Gemara asks the question of whether, well, go back to the top Rashi, because it actually makes it, it'll make it more clear. Look at Rashi's language. Uporesh, they separate. We read this Rashi already. V'yikbruas hameis miyad, you bury the body right away. Dekevan dechala alav chatuna, because marriage has now set in for him. Havia legabe kiregel, therefore it's like regel. So some wish to suggest that it's only because of the relations that they had that now it is a regel circumstance, and therefore Avelus, mourning, doesn't begin, and therefore they do the week of Sheva Brachos. But in the event that they didn't have relations with each other, then it actually would not be so. So I want to come back to that. I'm not really there yet. But that's where the discussion is going to take place. I'm going to just see. There's a message in the chat, so I will see if I can call that up while sharing. Okay. So what about Chuppas Nida? Then they won't be able to do this. That would be the answer. They would not be able to do this if she's a Nida. I think that they're stuck. So, next note that I wanted to make on this, we said that after Bia, they're going to have to separate. After they have relations, they're going to separate and have the funeral. So here the Ritva asks a very interesting question. Because they're going to separate, they're going to have the funeral, but after that they're going to have a week of Sheva Brachos, and they're not actually going to observe Avelus. It's going to be, like we said, as though the burial took place on Yom Tov. So the Ritva asks a question, which really all the Rishonim ask on this Gemara. You're telling me that you're pushing off the week of Shiva because marriage creates a regel-like, a holiday-like thing. Well, that's all well and good in theory. However, regel, real Yom Tov, is a biblical thing. The idea that when they get married, it's like a Yom Tov, is rabbinic. You should not be able to push off Shiva via a rabbinic Yom Tov. That's the Ritva's problem. Now, let me ask you a question, because it is important to understand in order to see this Ritva. Mourning in general, Shiva in general, biblical or rabbinic? Go ahead.
There, I was learning in the Gesher, and there he brings Arai, why it's a deraisa, based on a pasuk, but there's others that say it's a derabana. So, it'll make a difference.
So, the answer is that we generally treat Shiva as being rabbinic, except for day one. Right. Day one is a deraisa. So, I should clarify that, sorry. Day one is a de'oraisa if the burial takes place on the same day as the death. If the burial takes place on the same day as the death, then indeed day one is a de'oraisa. That's the way it works. So now I have a problem, right? You're telling me that the Shiva is going to be pushed off by this regel situation, but the Regel situation, the idea that you're telling me because he got married, now he's observing some sort of Yom Tov, that's rabbinic. How does that succeed in pushing off Shiva, which is fundamentally De'oraisa, assuming that the burial is happening on the day the person died? Eldon, yeah. You were going
to
ask?
No, I'm sorry. I just have to mute myself.
Okay. No problem.
I can guess, but that's about all.
Okay. Well, does everyone follow the question? We take it as a given that you're pushing off Sheva Brachos. On what basis are you pushing off Sheva Brachos? So I'm going to share the source sheet. I'm sorry, pushing off Shiva. Thank you. See that? There was something to say. I'm going to share the source sheet where I put the Ritva. If you have your sheet, then you don't need to look at this. Ubo b'ilas mitzvah uporesh. Right? So that's already what we said in the Gemara. Pirish Rashi, Shekovrim es hames bo bayom. Rashi said they buried the person who passed away same day. V'yesh hikshu olav. Some challenge this. D'ha'avale yom misa ukvura shehu min ha'torah ledaz haga'onim zal. It sounds like the day of the death is the day of the burial. V'ha'avale linoga velus da'as, I'm sorry, which is biblical according to the ga'onim. V'ha'avale linoga velus, so they should observe morning. Da'asiya se da'avelus da'oraisa v'dachi regel di day di mechupa da'avi de'rabanan. He says, I don't understand. The idea that the week after the chuppah is a regel, is like a yom tov, that's a rabbinic idea. Shekein kasvu ha-ga'onim zal b'kovaris meso b'yom tov sheni kishu yom misa d'chaya ba'avelus da'asiya se da'avelus da'oraisa v'dachi yom tov de'rabanan. The Ritva says, I'll prove it to you. He says, what happens in the event that they do a burial on Yom Tov Sheni? Granted that we don't bury people on Yom Tov Sheni, that tends not to be our practice. There are communities where it happens. Every time this topic comes up, someone must mention that there was indeed a burial that took place decades ago in Toronto involving a rabbi on Yom Tov Sheni. So I've mentioned it now. We understand that. But he says, in the event that somebody is buried on Yom Tov Sheni, in fact, the halacha is Shiva begins. That's the way it works. Shiva begins with that, begins that day. Because Yom Tov Sheni is rabbinic, and Avelus on the first day is De'oraisa, is biblical. So the Ritva asks, when it comes to burial on Yom Tov Sheni, Shiva begins. When it comes to Sheva Brachos, Shiva does not begin. I don't understand the difference. That's the Ritva's question. So he gives you answers. He says, Vitirtsu. They have given the following answers. He's going to give us three answers. First answer. Dishaani hacha, it's different here. Dahavi keregel vadai derabanon. Veheemidu bo chachamim divrei em b'shev ve'al ta'ase. Says the difference is that when you're dealing with Sheva Brachos, right, the case of the marriage, the Chachamim are able to say, don't observe Sheva, even though it's biblically obligated, because Shevel Tase, don't do. Shevel Tase, you can get away with not doing it. Hang on. Right? What else? Where else do we see the rabbi saying, yes, you have a biblical obligation to do something, but don't do it? Yeah? Chuck?
Obligation to put on tefillin during a regular day, but chutzlar, as we have extra days of Yom Tov, and even if it's a deraita to put on tefillin, because you have a regel that's a derabanan,
right. So you have tefillin on Yom Tov Sheni is an example. Shofar on Shabbos is another example. Right? The rabbis are able to say, don't do it. Granted that you're obligated to do it, nonetheless, don't do it. So they're able to say, don't observe Shiva, and instead go into Sheva Brachos. Then why didn't they do it for Yom Tov Sheni? Asks the Ritva. So he says, because Yom Tov Sheni is only a doubtful thing in the first place. Not a doubtful thing now. But it was born out of doubt. It came into existence out of suffolk, out of doubt. So therefore, we don't. Therefore, we're not willing to push off Avelos for Yom Tov Sheni. But Sheva Brachos? Yeah, we're willing to push it off for Sheva Brachos. Eldon, what were you going to say?
Yeah, I was just a bit confused. So when you refer to Yom Tov Sheni, it's not like Pesach Sheni where there's an extra Pesach a month away.
No. Yom Tov Sheni means the second day that we observe outside of Eretz Yisrael.
So clarify, the Gemara was actually written in Rome, correct?
Bavel.
In Bavel.
Yeah.
Which is Hutz Laaretz. Yeah, that
yes.
makes sense.
I mean, yeah, Talmud Bavli is, yeah. The Brisa originally was not, but our Gemara is not dealing with Yom Tov Sheni. The Ritva is challenging it based on another source regarding Yom Tov Sheni. That's a separate thing. Okay. So what we have right now is the first answer from the Ritva. He says, yes, it's true, we are pushing off the De'oraisa, guilty as charged. The rabbis are able to do that. That's his first approach. Second approach that the Ritva offers, sharing the screen with you once more. Visu, he says further, Dahasam ein Yom Tov Sheni mischalal kol kach mipnei aveluso. He says, really, Yom Tov Sheni is not really ruined by the fact that someone is sitting Shiva. He says, so they're sitting Shiva in private, and it's also Yom Tov. Aval hacha ein simcha b'makom avelus. But for the bride and groom, you're really going to ruin the simcha of the week of Sheva Brachos if they're going to be sitting Shiva. I find this answer a little difficult to understand from an emotional standpoint, but that's the second answer that the Ritva offers here. It's an interesting idea for sure. Okay. And then he gives us and yes, David, then it would be on the same day, but actually that's where we're going. You'll see. Visu, he says, I'll give you a third answer for this. And this goes back to some of the discussion about interrupting Shiva. He says, Visu, and further, Dahasam havelo yimei avelus ritzufin. He says, in the Yom Tov Sheni case, Shiva is then going to be observed straight. Meaning, they will observe it on Yom Tov Sheni, and they will observe for the next 6 days, or 5 days, really. Abol hacha, whereas in the wedding case, im noeg avelus hayom shumin haTorah, if they're going to do the first day of avelus, because it's biblical, then lo yinog lamachar shumi derabana, they're not going to do the rest of Shiva, because the rest of Shiva is rabbinic. So what are you going to do? You're going to have them do the burial, then you're going to say, observe 1 day of Shiva, then go back and do 7 days of Sheva Brachos. And then after that, finish the week of Shiva. Vim yashlim aveluso la'achar yamei ha-mishtef. They're going to complete Shiva after the week of Sheva Brachos. Lo havalu yamei avelus ritzufin. At that point, you've lost the contiguity of the days of Shiva. Dein avelus ba'ala mikutayim. There's no such thing as observing Shiva in pieces. Vizeh nachon ve'ikar. And the Ritva likes that answer. He says that's why they're not going to do it, because you would end up doing 1 day for Shiva De'oraisa, 7 days of Sheva Brachos, and then the rest of the week of Shiva. And he says that's nonsense. And then he offers something which goes back to what David said in the chat. He says, "V'lo k'divrei hamafarshim she'in kovrin oso ad lamachar, umalinin oso lichvodo shalalasos evel b'makom chupa." He says, "Don't take the view that some suggest that maybe what they actually do is delay the burial by a day, so that therefore Avelus will only be rabbinic." He says, yeah, I know some people give that answer, but he says that's not the answer. The wedding and the burial and everything is all going to be the same day, the day that the death took place. Clear? Again, the Ritva's question is a straightforward question. Why are you pushing off a biblical obligation for the first day of Shiva, putting it after the week of Sheva Brachos? And why is it that when it comes to Yom Tov, we tell them that they do have to observe, if a burial is done on Yom Tov Sheni, they do in fact sit Shiva starting on Yom Tov Sheni. So his first answer is, you're right. However, Sheva Al Tase, the rabbis are able to say, get rid of the biblical practice of Shiva, and it's just that Yom Tov Sheni isn't worth it. That's his first answer. His second answer is, again, you're pushing it off. However, Yom Tov Sheni won't suffer so much by having him sitting Shiva quietly in private on Yom Tov Sheni. And then the third answer is that in the Yom Tov Sheni case, you would cause a disruption. In the Yom Tov Sheni case, you can have them do Shiva straight through. Whereas here, it would end up being disrupted by the week of Sheva Brachos. So that's the answer that he gives. So instead, they do the burial, then they have the week of Sheva Brachos. Yes, Chuck. How do you deal with Shabbos? Well, Shabbos doesn't split a Shiva. Shiva continues on Shabbos. Shabbos counts towards the week, and there is still Avelos in private, just not in public.
Isn't there an issue of Avelos for Shabbos at all?
No, there is Avelos in Shabbos, just not public Avelos. But there is still private Avelos. As a matter of fact, even though it tends not to be done in Ashkenazi communities, there's such a thing as Nichum Avelim on Shabbos. Going to do a Shiva visit. Ashkenazim tend not to do it. But there are plenty of sources about it. So, no.
How can you do Hamakom Menachem at Lechadodi when you send the Avelim out and you bring him back in?
Right. Hamakom Menachem at Lechadodi is weird for a bunch of other reasons. For starters, you actually accepted Shabbos already. And there's discussion. Like, if one sees an Avel on Shabbos, do they say Hamakom Menachem? What should they say to them? But there is such a thing as Avelos on Shabbos, just not public Avelos. That's the distinction. So they're going to observe the week of Sheva Brachos. I want to just note one other thing that I mentioned on the sheet, and that's in terms of how they're going to calculate Avelos here when they're observing Sheva Brachos week. So the Tur quotes you the Ramban, and I brought it here in source base. V'kasev haRamban, minyan shloshim, eino mona elam yishivas yimei ha'avelos ve'elech. He says the shloshim count is only going to start once Shiva starts. The week of Sheva Brachos will not count towards the shloshim. Ve'eino doma lakover meso beregel, not like a case in which somebody does a burial on Yom Tov. Shaharegel olalo leminyan shloshim, afal bishenu mona zayin alacha regel. If a person has a death take place on Chol HaMoed, so the rule is Avelus only starts after Yom Tov, but the count of the 30 days starts from death/burial. Why are we distinguishing? Why do it differently? Dahasam noeg mitzvah shloshim beregel, because there were mourning practices that took place already on the regel. Avalhacha, but here, kol shiva simei achupa mutarin begiutz v'tispores, but in the week of Sheva Brachos, they can do everything. They can do laundry, they can get a haircut. Hilkach lo salki klal. Therefore, the week of Sheva Brachos does not count at all towards the shloshim. V'kach kasav Adoni. Avizali says that's what his father, the Rush, said, like what the Ramban said. So they're going to have the week of Sheva Brachos, and then after that, everything is going to begin, including the Shloshim count, with the week of Shiva. That's the idea.
For Chiner.
Yes, Laser.
Just very quickly, I thought when you have a death on Chol HaMoed, you only sit 6 days afterwards.
So there's a separate question of Yom Tov Sheni counting as one of the days. If I remember correctly, that's what you're referring to. That it's because when they observe the rest of Yom Tov Sheni is actually going to count as one of the days of Shiva. I think that's it. I haven't gone through it in a long time in terms of learning through it, but I think that was the issue. Okay. So there's still more to say about this very strange and painful case, obviously. And then we have to come back to how it applies in the Gemara. But what we're saying again is, why would they move up a wedding to Monday? We say we don't want it. And the answer is, if there's an ones case, in the event that Rachmana Litzlan, one of them lost a parent, then they may indeed end up having to do the wedding on Monday. I have to admit that I don't really understand, because that's true for any day of the week. The same thing would be true for Sunday, right? I don't know why we're specifically saying this regarding Monday. The same rule is going to pertain. Nonetheless, That's the way the Gemara frames it, and we'll have to pick up with that again. As I said in the beginning, next week, God willing, we're at 7 o'clock. So all the people who, when we do it at 7:30, join at 7:40. Make sure that you join at 7:10 next week, because I have an 8 o'clock program. Okay? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rabbi. Thank you.